Every Tuesday, Current State puts the spotlight on the environment. The segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism and Great Lakes Echo. For today's conversation, we welcome Great Lakes journalist and commentator Gary Wilson. Wilson is the former co-editor of the Great Lakes Town Hall. He's a member of the Society of Environmental Journalists and currently writes for Great Lakes Echo. Gary, welcome to Current State.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Good to be with you.
In one of your latest commentaries on Great Lakes Echo, titled Restoring the Great Lakes 2.0, Keep It Simple, you look at the role and the task at hand for the Great Lakes Advisory Board, which recently met in Chicago. First, explain what the board's purpose is, please.
Well, the advisory board was recently formed, and it's to help the U.S. EPA, especially their Great Lakes National Program Office, which is located here in Chicago, determine the best steps for restoring the Great Lakes for years beginning in 2015 through 2019. We're just finishing up sort of the first round of, first round of Great Lakes restoration projects. And there's been some good projects and some that maybe have been less good. The EPA decided to put together an advisory board with people from all around the region to help help them inform them what should happen in the subsequent 4 years. So the first meeting kicked off in Chicago last week, and there'll be some subsequent meetings to get citizen input scattered around the region.
I think you're on the record as saying that you don't necessarily think a board like this is necessary to restore the Great Lakes. Why is that?
Well, the Great Lakes have been studied to death forever, and the whole initiative to restore the Great Lakes, they got federal support in the way of especially money from the Obama administration to the tune of about $1 billion. But the whole project was sold on the facts that we really didn't need a whole lot of study and a whole lot of advice. We knew what needed to be done, we meaning the region, and we just needed the resources, meaning the money, to do it. The Obama administration, to its credit, kept a campaign pledge and has put up just shy of $1 billion so far, with more promised. So the idea that we kind of need more advisors to tell us what to do, and you know, the more cooks in the kitchen, I don't think necessarily makes a better meal. So I've been fairly vociferous against another advisory board, but we have it. So I think the purpose of my article and giving my own advice, even though it was unsolicited, was to try to make the best of the situation.
There is another meeting that is happening that is, I think, to one extent or another, being overlooked, and that is a conference on the Great Lakes that is coming up right on the heels of the Mackinac Conference at Mackinac Island. This is Governor Snyder's Great Lakes Governors Summit. You claim that the agenda for this meeting lacks an environmental focus. How so?
Well, Mark, and thanks for mentioning this. This is very important. The governors are a really important component of any work to help restore the Great Lakes. And when you help restore the Great Lakes, you also help restore the economy. But Governor Snyder, last November, when he released his environment and energy message, he specifically called out the Great Lakes and said it had been a long time since the governors had met. And Governor Snyder, along with Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, they're both co-chairs now of the Council of Great Lakes Governors, and that's a group of the governors, the Great Lakes governors, that focus on environmental and economic issues. But when Governor Snyder released, announced the conference, he announced it in an environmental context in his message in last November. And he said, really, that the governors needed to be focusing on the invasive species issues, with invasive Asian carp knocking at the door, which could really wreak havoc on the regional economy, with a big impact on Michigan. So I was very encouraged. And then last week, the agenda for the meeting was released, and I don't see Asian carp. I don't see anything about invasive species. I see almost nothing on the agenda. The agenda, looks more like an economic development agenda, which is fine. It's certainly necessary for the governors of the region to work on economic development. So I'm just kind of curious as to what happened, how the environment issue fell off of the agenda.
I heard over the weekend, this is interesting, we should get on this, because I heard over the weekend from a pretty credible source that in order to get more Republicans to give the Great Lakes more time, more thought, more attention, that the focus of the gathering really had to be on economic development, and not to be surprised if the environment ends up becoming a part of the agenda, just so more conservative members of his own party might be more open to it. Does that make any sense to you?
It does, Mark. And I, you know, my looking through the lens of the glass is half full. You know, sometimes at these types of high-level meetings, you know, what's on the public agenda is only it's like an iceberg. It might only be, you know, 20% of what's really happening. My hope is that Governor Snyder, and I've often referred to Governor Snyder as an environmental enigma, he will do some really good things, then he'll turn around and do something that's sort of out of character. So my hope is that the governor can, behind the scenes, start the discussion on some of these issues. Yeah, and I absolutely agree. To get especially people like Governor Walker from Wisconsin, who really does not have a good environmental record, and to attend, you probably had to sort of lure him there with some sugar talking about economic development. And then if you can get his ear and bend it a little bit about environmental issues and set the stage for another meeting, that would be good.
How would you rate the governor's involvement or this administration's involvement with the Great Lakes environment in general?
Well, he was slow to kind of come to the table. There was a lot of criticism in his first 2 years. He didn't really have a whole lot to say about the Great Lakes, and he really didn't have a whole lot to say about the environment. And then I think when he released his environment and energy message last November, the people that I talked to in the environmental groups in Michigan, and I'm from Michigan originally, so I still have quite a few connections there, you know, they were pretty encouraged. And I was impressed because he talked about conserving natural resources, and a lot of times you don't hear politicians talking about conserving, especially Republican politicians, and the governor is a former businessman. They're talking about generally how to get more. So I was encouraged that he was talking about conserving resources and taking on some of these issues. Now, the proof, of course, is always in the pudding. How does it play out over the long term? I was looking at his environmental scorecard as compiled by the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and he's actually got a pretty good record. I think they rated him with a C+ if you wanted to put a grade on it. So, I think there's hope. Certainly hope, more hope on the environmental issues with Governor Snyder than with some of his Republican counterparts in other states, most notably Wisconsin.
Environmental justice is a phrase that is a part of some of these, the boards that we were talking about earlier, the Great Lakes Advisory Boards. Environmental justice is something that's a part of some of these boards' formal agendas. Can you give us a quick working definition of environmental justice?
Well, it's the propensity for polluted sites and in ongoing environmental degradation to be located, factories in economically disadvantaged areas, often with in the throes of racial minorities, African Americans and Hispanics. Here in Chicago, there was just a years-long fight that concluded about two coal-fired power plants that were located literally in the middle of an Hispanic neighborhood. And many, many, many advocates worked for many years to finally get the plants shut down. The common thinking was that those plants, had they been located near a more affluent neighborhood, they would have been closed a long time ago. So that's it in a nutshell.
Gary Wilson is a Great Lakes journalist and commentator. You can find his commentaries on greatlakesecho.org. Thank you, Gary.
Hey, Mark. It was good to be with you.